Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a beautiful thing that is to say, something that we say to you, confirmands this day. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, for all God's holy people, people who believe in Jesus as their Savior. What makes these words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 all the more remarkable is the fact that the Apostle Paul was writing these words while he himself was not in happy or ideal circumstances. The Apostle Paul was writing these words from prison. He was a prisoner, most likely in Rome, and like other prisoners, he had broken the law, but not God's law, rather the law of the Roman emperor that forbade him from disturbing the peace. And so people accused him of disturbing the peace by proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God himself. Of course, there were many of Paul's own countrymen, the Jews, who did not believe that Jesus is the Savior. So they roused up a crowd to riot against him, and because of that, Paul was accused of disturbing the peace, even though he himself had not done so. But instead of spending his time there in prison, wallowing in self-pity because he had been wrongfully accused and wrongfully imprisoned, no, Paul spent his time praying on behalf of the individual churches that he and his fellow workers in Christ, Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Epaphras, and others, had started through the preaching of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And since his imprisonment at that time allowed him to have occasional visitors, Paul had been eagerly waiting for messengers to arrive to bring him word from those churches that he had planted or visited throughout his travels. And one day such a messenger arrived with news about the church in Colossae. Epaphras, the visitor from Colossae, was filled with warm praise for the group of Christians there. And for Paul, that was a welcome answer to his prayers for them. Now he had reason, because of that report, to give thanks to God. And it is that report from Epaphras that prompted the words of the Apostle Paul in our sermon text in Colossians chapter 1. The word of truth, God's word, the gospel, the good news about forgiveness and salvation through Jesus, had not only borne fruit, but also, thanks be to God, it had sustained those Christians in Colossae in their faith and love. And these words that the Apostle Paul writes are really a tribute to Christians everywhere who continue to be faithful to the word of truth, to the gospel of Jesus our Savior. And these words apply to you, confirmants, today too, as you are about to confess your faith publicly in front of this congregation, in front of family and friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ. And they apply also to all Christians everywhere as well, as we also profess our faith. And we do that weekly when we confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and occasionally also the Athanasian Creed. Confirmands, all members, all fellow Christians, both your faith and your love spring from the same hope that is stored up for you in heaven, just as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians in the first century, almost 2,000 years ago. It's the hope that you have learned through the message of the gospel in God's word, which perhaps came to you first from your parents or your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, your godparents, then from your Sunday school teachers or Christian day school teachers. And more recently, in recent years, that has been nourished and strengthened through your confirmation class instruction. So to be able to say that about you, that we know of your faith and love, really, that is the highest tribute that can be paid to you. higher than anything else that you might hear from your friends who might praise you for your achievements and accomplishments in sports or in school or later on in your business or professional or in your social life, whatever way you make your mark on the world. But though Paul wrote so warmly about the Christians at Colossae, he didn't stop with that. He didn't only give thanks to God for past blessings, but also looking toward the future, he also prayed for them for the days and years that lay ahead of them in their Christian lives. In fact, his visitor Epaphras had come with some serious concerns on behalf of those Christians at Colossae. The gospel had borne such good fruit among those Christians, but there was still need for that fruit, for there to be nourishment and sustenance as they grow in their faith and love, and especially encountering sometimes difficult and challenging circumstances in their lives. And in addition to that, the Apostle Paul was enough of a realist with a realistic perspective on life and the challenges of daily life to know that those Christians would indeed face personal temptations to sin and even to fall away from faith back into unbelief, that they might be overwhelmed at times with guilt or with shame because of the sins that they have committed. And so, in all of Paul's letters to the young churches that God had used him to establish, he prayed fervently so that the work that God had begun among them through the preaching of the gospel would continue, and that God would keep his people strong and firm in faith in Jesus through the gospel. Because once they had begun, faith and love still need to be fed and sustained by the same power, the same nourishment that had begun them in order to keep them alive and strong throughout all of the Christian's life on earth. And so for those same reasons, we too today offer our prayers on your behalf, dear confirmands, that the faith which you will soon profess before all of us and the love that you now have will not be overcome by the temptations that will confront you in the future, that confront all of us in our lives. And just as you did not and could not create your faith, so also we throughout our lives rely on the work of the Holy Spirit to keep us strong in faith. Just as he has called us to faith in Jesus through the gospel, we rely on him also to strengthen us and to feed us in our faith in Jesus. In your confirmation instruction, you didn't get to make a do-it-yourself kit by which you could maintain your faith and your love on your own. No, if anything, just the opposite, you have been made vividly aware of how little you could really do by yourself and how necessary the power of the gospel will be for the rest of your lives as Christians. And so what do our prayers for you today include? Well, to begin with, we pray that you would cling to the promises of your baptism. And I think for most of you, for all of you, you were baptized years ago before you even have any memory or recollection of that time. But your parents, your godparents, your other relatives who were there, they do remember it. And above all, God remembers it. On that day, God laid his claim upon you through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he said to you, "You are mine. You are my child, my daughter, my son." And he made you one of his family members. And that promise comes back to you every time that you remember it and are encouraged in your faith by it. That promise in baptism comes to you because in that sacrament, you shared in the death of Jesus. You died to the claims of sin and the punishment of death that sin deserves. And at the same time, you rose again to new spiritual life, just as Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and hell. Your faith is your grasping hold of these gifts that God has for you, after you have been grasped hold of by the Holy Spirit. And so every morning when you wake up, you can think about that great love that God has for you. And then repenting of your sins, you can again in faith take hold of those gifts that God gave to you in your baptism. And you can again rejoice in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus and be strengthened for another day of living for God's glory according to his will. And remember that although your baptism has given you all these gifts, your baptism is not over and forgotten. Baptism continues to work for you throughout your lives. It doesn't merely assure you of forgiveness and keep you as one of God's people. It frees you daily so that you can pursue God's mission to the world, so that you can be a part of that mission that he has given to the church, to go and make disciples of all nations by spreading the message about Jesus and forgiveness and salvation. And by doing so, you bring praise and glory to the name of God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Christians are given the impression, or somehow we have the impression, that our faith in Jesus, our faith as Christians, has little day-to-day practical implication for our lives here on earth, other than simply just as our ticket into heaven someday in the future. But life here and now is important for Christians, for you too. And here and now, every day of our lives, we are to serve others in love as God calls us to do, to use the gifts that he gives to us to show care and compassion and concern for those who are in need of any help that we can give, especially of sharing with them the message of God's love, of forgiveness through Jesus, of salvation. And the Apostle Paul made that very clear to the Christians in Colossae when he spoke not only of their faith, but also of their love, the love that they now had for other people. The love that God has had for us in Christ brings about our response of love to him and to other people that he has placed us around us in our lives. So we express that love, of course, by praising God himself, by singing songs of praise to God, but especially also by showing love to those in need around us. As Jesus said, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. And dear confirmands, our prayer for you today also includes the prayer that you remember the hope that God has given to you. And so in order to do that, we urge you to continue to hear and receive and continue to learn and grow in the truth of God's love, the truth of the promise that he has made to you about his peace that he has established with you now and that will continue with you, between you and him forever, for the rest of your life on this earth and into eternal life. And so come regularly to God's house here at St. Andrew, or if you move on to another place in the country, we pray in another church that shares the same faith in all the truths of God's word with us here. You can gather together with your brothers and sisters in Christ around God's word. And also especially we pray that you will come frequently to receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. What a wonderful privilege and encouragement we have there, where Jesus, our Savior himself, comes individually to each of us to assure us, you are my child, my daughter, my son. I have forgiven you. I do forgive you. And I now send you out to go and share my love with others. And as you do so, you not only grow in your relationship with God, but also together with your brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's Supper together. We need that encouragement from you to see your expression of faith, your fellowship in faith as we grow together as a family of believers. And so, what we as a church promise to do for you, for your faith and your love, to pray for you, to encourage you, we also ask that you would do for us as well, for all of who are God's people through faith in Jesus, because we all need prayers and encouragement from each other, the whole church, and you are a part of that church. So we need your prayers for us too. We need every possible source of power. God promises that our prayers are powerful and effective through Jesus our Savior. We need God's power to keep us strong in faith, to keep us growing together as a family of believers and working together for the mission that God has given to us. And so, let the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Colossian Christians be our prayer for each other. May you be made strong with all the strength which comes from his glorious might, that you might be able to endure everything with patience and give thanks with joy to the Father, who has made you fit to have share of what God has reserved for his people in the kingdom of light. Amen.